Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Zippy the Wonder Snail, episode 41. We're starting with a preface today because episode 41 was recorded live, together, in person. I love when Jason and I get to do that, and we can't wait to share the content of this episode with you. But unfortunately, the recording did not go as we hoped. We try to provide you with the very best audio quality so we can just focus on being two Christian guys zipping through the news and culture that matter to you. Unfortunately, we hit a few bumps in the recording, and since it's live, it can't be completely restored. We've tried to make it as listenable as possible, but please bear with us. If you're new to Zippy the Wonder Snail, don't give up on us after this episode. We will return to our usual recording quality next episode. And if you've been with us for a long time, once again, don't despair. Zippy will be back to his normal high fidelity recording starting with our next episode. But for this episode, let's go ahead and zip into it right now. Live episode of Zippy, which means if you are watching it live, you've been seeing some antics because it's not, well, it's not pre-recorded and mastered and so on like we usually
do. That was awkward.
Yeah. It was. But comrade, it's so good to have you back in town. I just love having you here. And for those who've been listening now for, what year are we in here, comrade?
Is it four?
Well, we're working on year four. We're in volume four right now, right?
So, yeah.
For those who've been...
completed 3 years.
And so if you've been with us, for those of you, you know that the last couple of years since Jason's been off gallivanting around South Carolina doing things like teaching people and stuff, when we had the opportunity, we loved to do a live episode in person. And if you want to be here live, you of course can do that. And if you're interested in the next episode that's live and you'd like to be here, you can always write us and we'll make sure to let you know about it. But here we are tonight. It is a stormy night, but we are together for a live episode of Zippy, the podcast that's two Christian guys discussing the news and culture, zipping through it that matters to you. And, well, speaking of things zipping, comrade, snails typically don't zip, but cicadas do. And there are a lot of cicadas around.
He's calling it cicadas. I usually call it cicadas. Tomato, tomato, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, somehow I realized I picked up the East Coast pronunciation. That's I don't know why, but it's...
Paging William Daniels, Mr. Feeney and Knight Rider, and anyway.
this is going to be an episode to remember, that's for sure. So,
yeah, the mid-Atlantic accent that lets you know either you're doing really well or you're really in trouble, one of the two. All right. Yeah, the cicadas, they're annoying. My brother said something about it. He had three batches of them, three hatches. I don't know the term.
Broods.
Isn't that like geese? I don't even know what's going on. I'm giving this to you. I'm just babbling right now.
Well, it's just been striking to me as they've emerged. And the thing that I think is interesting, you know, we live in this social media craze culture that amps everything up. And there was a part of me that thought, as we were talking about the 13-year cicadas are coming out, there's going to be this big do about nothing different than what we'd experienced before. And here in Missouri, we don't have both broods that have emerged overlapping. So it really is the 13-year ones we usually have. But it was true, I don't remember them ever being this loud before. It's interesting to me.
Yeah. Because they're just sort of usually part of the background noise, and people have been saying here it's deafening, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have lots to talk about, some of it which may bug you and some of which may not, but let's go ahead and get to our first. Good. So, comrade, we're talking about Caitlin Clark, and to show my knowledge of Caitlin Clark, when you suggested we should talk about her, I said, well, which sport does she play?
Wow, that's bad. So, as the resident sports editor on Zippy and pretty much everything else, I think at least some part of our audience is aware of who Caitlin Clark is. She's the all-time NCAA leading scorer, men's or women's.
Wow.
Most three-point baskets made. I think most points per game in a season. I mean, she averaged like 31 points per game in her last year at Iowa. Took them all the way to the championship game, where they lost to the University of South Carolina, oddly enough, the Gamecocks. But she's already being, you know, she's like 21. She's already being proclaimed as the greatest of all time. Just
wow.
Entering her rookie season. So right as we speak, she has a scoring average of 17 and change, about 17 per game. And she had a really bad night against the Las Vegas Aces, who are the two-time reigning WNBA champion, Las Vegas Aces. She only had 8 points, bringing her average down to 17.5 or whatever. But I told my mom before that game that if she continues at this scoring pace, which is about 20, she'd be at the very top of the all-time WNBA scoring list. This is a rookie season, so this is crazy. Yes, she has to work on not turning the ball over. Yes, she'll have to work on the speed of the game. Yes, she'll have to work on defense. But Michael Jordan didn't come out like this. I mean, Michael had to grow. What if she grows into the game? She'll be scoring 45 and 50 points a night. Because she has such crazy range. She can shoot a three-pointer from literally anywhere on the floor. You gotta follow her all the way from full court, because if you don't, she'll take a shot from the mid-court line. So,
sounds pretty impressive.
Absolutely insane. So, and I've seen her do it, but she's also a great passer, and she has great mobility, so she can get inside and score two-point baskets as well. So, she's gonna be hard to deal with. Hard to deal with as the years progress. She's with the Indiana Fever. Right now they are 1-5. They lost 5 games before they beat. Oh, now they're 1-6 because they lost to the Aces. 1-6. They beat the LA Sparks, who are the NBA's answer to the Lakers. Was their one win. Not a great beginning. But hey, she's a rookie, and they need a lot more pieces than just her. But she is joined on her team by WNBA Rookie of the Year from 2023, Aaliyah Boston. And hopefully she can grow into the game a little bit. And they can learn to play together, because it's not just the points, it's also the assists, the way she can pass the ball to her open teammates. Go Fever. Let's see what happens. I'm considering buying the WNBA package. So I've never seen anything like this, and I've seen a lot of women's basketball over the years. So the world's excited, and they should be. So there we go.
So for those of us who only acknowledge the one true sport of baseball, so this is all sort of alien to us, when does the WNBA season run?
Well, it's going on right now. This season began on May 14th, and I think it's going to finish up in August.
Maybe. Okay, it's a pretty short season.
So it's a short season. They play 40 games for each team. I think there's 12 teams in the league. So eight are going to make the postseason, and I cannot give you a rundown of the playoff brackets in the WNBA because they keep changing them. Like every year, but that'll be interesting. I know it's not one game elimination. It'll be a series, whether it's 3 games and it goes to 5. I know the championship series is 5 games. So when you're playing the finals, it's 5 games, but I think the other ones are 3. I do want to say what they're up against, though, because the Aces, the two-time defending champions, are coached by Becky Hammon. And Becky Hammon, among other things, is the fifth all-time leading scorer in the history of the WNBA. Now she's the coach. She spent a considerable amount of time, about 5 years, as the assistant coach to the NBA's San Antonio Spurs, who I'm a fan of. I don't know if you knew that team.
I don't think I knew that one, no.
So there was chatter that if Greg Popovich, the San Antonio Spurs head coach, and the all-time NBA winningest coach, stepped away, that Becky Hammon would get that job. But Pop showed no inclination to leave, so she went ahead and took the Aces job, and I guess that worked out because first 2 seasons, 2 WNBA championships, so hard to argue with that. So that's what Caitlin Clark's up against, and it's not a slouch league. People who say it's boring, they're just not watching because it's crazy how much parity there is in the league, and how much pure basketball is in the league. So I'm enjoying it. We'll see what happens with Caitlin Clark, and yeah, good times.
Well, I know you'll keep us up to date, and I look forward to hearing how this goes in this strange new world of. I really didn't know there was any other sport.
I wanted to say one more quick thing about this. There is something called the Caitlin Clark effect, and that is the immense growth in the attendance for WNBA games when she came to New York City for the first time to play the New York Liberty. Now they're an elite team. They have a crazy fan base. That home opening crowd was doubled. So they had 18,000 fans in there in the Barclays Center to watch Caitlin Clark play the Liberty. So she's doubling in attendance around the league. I think that'll be good for the league in general. So hopefully it continues.
Little Maple Leafs rag there fits because we are talking about something that feels like it really belongs back in the time of ragtime, which is trust busting, antitrust
Yeah, Teddy
prohibition.
Roosevelt called he wants his music back.
Yeah, well, he also wants his antitrust enforcement back. And we have a particularly interesting case, I think, in this current Department of Justice action against Apple. Comrade, you're an Apple user.
Yes,
Yeah.
enthusiastically.
And of course, I know our listeners are sensible people, so they're either Apple users or they're repenting of not using Apple.
Yeah, on the way to accepting the truth.
anyway, yeah. So we have this interesting phenomena that. There are a few companies, Apple being one of them, the big tech companies that have gone from being sort of everybody's underdog hero. They're going to change the world, right? Remember late 90s, early 2000s? Wow, look at what they're going to do. To now they're the enemy. And you hear politicians from both parties campaigning against big tech. I think that's particularly interesting in the case of Apple. I wrote a piece, I'll put it in the show notes a few weeks ago on actually 2 pieces on this current action against Apple. Because what the DOJ is looking at is whether Apple is using monopoly power to force people to use its different services, including iMessage. Now, comrade, when I say monopoly, how much of the market do you assume a company has if it's a monopoly?
It would have to be well over half, I would think.
Yeah, like 70, 80, 90%, right?
Yeah.
Which incidentally is exactly if we're thinking about the last big tech antitrust case, we'd be thinking back to DOJ versus Microsoft in the late 1990s. Microsoft had, I want to say, 92% of the operating system market at the time. And they were using that to then leverage their web browser because it came preloaded and it had advantages over other web browsers like Netscape, which sort of lives on in Mozilla Firefox, but for all intents and purposes, gone. You had Microsoft leveraging this power with the vast majority of the market. At the time, nobody was using Macintosh any longer, right? I mean, it was sort of like, oh, there's those weird Apple people that haven't let go of their Apples yet, but the Atari people gave up, the Amiga people gave up, the Tandy people gave up. Everybody eventually is going to realize they should just come and use Microsoft Windows, which there is an antitrust platform if you're looking for one, right? Because you have a company that has that level of dominance. Although arguably market forces corrected that as well, because despite the DOJ action, I'd say really it was the changes with the move towards cell phones and iPods and all that sort of stuff that really loosened Microsoft's control, where today I don't think anybody's really worried about Microsoft being a monopoly.
Yeah, isn't that odd? Yeah, as I understand the meaning of the terms, there's no way the DOJ is going to win this case.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. So here's what they're doing that I think is really fascinating. They want to clearly harken back to what they did with Microsoft. But Apple only has about half the smartphone market. You basically have a nice division, especially if you look around the world. But here in the United States, Apple is the dominant smartphone maker, but only just so. And then around the world, Android is actually a larger piece of the pie than Apple. So DOJ carved up a brand new term, and they called it high-performance smartphones, which, because Apple is out innovating everyone else, their phones happen to be faster than everybody else's. So the DOJ said these high-performance phones, which by Apple's own ingenuity happen to be Apple phones, Apple dominates.
Right.
That's a really weird legal approach, I
Yeah,
think.
I think the DOJ is going to lose that one.
Yeah.
And they deserve to. I mean, you got to leave. There's unfair competition, and I get the general principle of regulation to prevent monopolies and to prevent the abuse of consumers. I get all that as a philosophical matter. But you got to make your case. If you're going to come in and say, oh, they're dominating the market, they're keeping everybody else out. No, they're not. They're just doing it better than everyone else right now.
Right.
That'd be like if the DOJ right now, this is a bad example. I'm taking us on a rabbit trail. That'd be like if our friends over at Chick-fil-A, who are now rapidly moving up to the table, as it were, for fast food, restaurants. If you guys are just doing too well, we're gonna break you guys up. Like what? Why?
Right.
They're doing it with customer service. I guess they've got a pretty tight hold on their supply chains and all of that. They're kicking butt, and they deserve where they are. And Apple, at least in the areas where Apple's being used most effectively, I still say it's the smart. I mean, I have a Mac. You have a Mac. But there's still PCs everywhere,
Yeah.
but it's just the smartphones and other music type like iPods earlier, they started to crack into that. Don't punish companies for doing well unless that's at the expense of someone else. Man, I sound like a capitalist today. That's
You
weird.
do, yeah. I'm not sure what to do with this, but comrade, I think the funny thing about that, like you said, PCs are still very present. You have Macs that come from Apple that are very flexible in what you do with them, and then you have iPads and iPhones that are more restricted. But as I outline in the piece, I think for many of us, that's part of the appeal, right? I don't want to run antivirus software on my cell phone. I want my cell phone just to work. And I know for our Android using listeners, you seriously should run antivirus software on your cell phone because it's possible to get viruses on Android. It's not on iPhone. But the DOJ seems to want to have us all have the benefits of that. And that's what I argued. Ironically, in their argument that we need more consumer choice, what they're really doing is arguing there should be less choice because if they succeed,
they will, it won't be that you have a f more, you have greater freedom to choose Android. It'll be whether you choose Android or iPhone, your phone works a lot the same because they would Androidify the iPhone. That's what they're really aiming for.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, and you know,
Please don't do that.
I'm glad that Android exists. It's good to have competition. I think it is good to have market forces at play here, and they clearly are. Apple is responding to Android all the time, and Android is always responding to Apple. But if you put a bunch of restrictions on Apple where they can't do the things that make the iPhone uniquely different than Android, the fact that they have tighter control over the App Store so there aren't viruses on it, the fact that you can't end up getting a job, for example, and the company says you have to install this alternate App Store that allows us to spy on you all the time because Apple won't allow it. Those sorts of things, the DOJ wants to allow those sorts of things, which argue they're saying is for consumer benefit and privacy and so on. It's actually anti-consumer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would just say, where was I going with this? Okay. Brain echoes.
This is your brain on Android.
Yeah, this is what happens. Yes, we want our phones to work for what we want them to do. We don't want it's not it can't just be a bare philosophical point.
Yes.
And oh, this is what no, that's what triggered it. Right now, one of the things that's pushing Apple forward, and they're doing well with consumers, is the user experience. Just the way it works, the way it interfaces with you when you're using it, the way it's easy to use, the way it helps you along if you're not all that terribly familiar with computers. Because let me say this in a different way. I've had to use a whole bunch of Microsoft stuff and Microsoft adjacent stuff in my other job as a school teacher, and it's terrible. And we've had so many just annoying things happen, and it doesn't interface with the iPhone that well, and still don't like Google Docs. I just need to say that just as a random aside. And it just having to learn PC slash Android type stuff again for work, I'm like, this is terrible. I don't want to do this. If I could switch the whole school over to Apple, I would do it, but no one's going to go for that. It's too expensive, but it's worth it, but it's too expensive for what a school district does and all that stuff. It drives me crazy. I'm in two worlds and I hate it.
And just imagine if suddenly your Apple devices act like that. That's what we're looking at here.
No.
So I think one thing that I would encourage our listeners to do, I think they should contact their politicians. And comrade, I have a pastor, so I try to avoid really strong political stances, but this is a bipartisan action. Both Republicans and Democrats are going after Apple because it's really convenient to target this big thing. But what we really need to look at is what's best. And here, so one, I know we've gone a little over on this segment, but just throw out two kind of closing thoughts. One, we can kind of see where this is going if we look over in Europe. Europe's already put in regulations that are very similar to what the DOJ would like to accomplish with this. And if they succeed, we can imagine the same scenario playing out. And for example, when you start up an iPhone now in Europe, Apple is required not to default to their own browser. They have to give you a list of browsers. And they can't pick the top four or five browsers. They have to list every browser available.
Oh no.
And they can't put them in the order, like list the top two or three most popular, because that's giving preferential treatment. So imagine you log into your iPhone for the first time. Maybe you're not super tech savvy. You log in, and both Chrome and Safari are 1,000 items down, and so you have to install, I'm a spyware browser because you're just, well, I guess that's the browser I'm supposed to use, and the browser tracks you constantly. I mean, that's the first thing that's going to happen in the effort to allegedly provide more privacy. So we can see it already. The nightmare is actually happening in Europe, and companies like Apple's one of the big targets, really have to decide, do we want to market in Europe or not, because the EU can enforce this. But I think we can see how it's bad.
I definitely think so. And tell me, is this legislation going anywhere?
In Europe?
No, I mean here.
Oh, well, here there's various legislative efforts, but I think we're really seeing it more through the courts.
Okay.
And so, well, it's going to be really how activist did the courts decide to become on this?
I'm also deliriously optimistic about the courts.
Yes.
Even though that's one of the avenues for taking away consumer freedom and other types of freedom. It also, on many occasions, the courts come through and say, hey, you can't do that. Knock it off. So I'm thinking, you know, we have all kinds in our courts, and I think sense will ultimately prevail.
Yeah, I hope so. And just, we need to move on. I'll just mention, you should check out my second piece, it'll be in the show notes too, because I talk about specifically about iMessage. And we've seen a repeated misunderstanding in pop culture and political world that Apple is somehow withholding blue bubbles, the blue texting bubbles from people. And the DOJ actually argues, and I get into this in the piece, that Apple should allow a company called Beeper that essentially hacked into Apple's system so that Android users could use iMessage. That Apple was at fault, and they should allow Beeper to trick Apple systems into providing access, and not just providing access, but actually hosting the messages for this other service.
They hacked into it. That doesn't seem right.
No, and so it's so crazy, because Apple, the reason the blue bubbles work so well is that Apple's actually providing millions and millions of dollars of infrastructure for those blue bubbles to be sent over its system rather than the less reliable system of our telephone carriers. And the DOJ wants it to be that Apple has to allow anyone to tap into that system, presumably for free.
Bad idea.
Yeah. So lots to consider, but I guess the big thing I say is just don't get wrapped up in all the political rhetoric going on this, because there's something that oddly our parties that can't agree on much seem to be agreeing on, and it's really, really bad for all of us.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, me too. Hey, what I also hate that happens is like what happened tonight, which is we had severe weather. And you know where you can find an update on your weather without being tracked from talking about privacy? Do you know where that is, comrade?
Yeah, Faithtree weather.
Yeah, you should go to faithtree.com/weatherdesk anytime, day or night, any season, and you will get the latest weather with a scripture that relates to the weather, and you will not be tracked while you do it.
You're not going to meet Al Roker, but you will get the weather.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that, but check it out. Comrade, you said you wanted to do another Cardinals segment. I said we really want to depress our listeners that much. So, okay, we need to recap here, just for those keeping score on Zippy. Okay, last year, back end of April, you told me, calm down, it's all going to be okay. By the end of the season, Cardinals win the division.
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
That didn't work out.
When we did our anniversary episode a few weeks ago, end of April again.
Very really bad again.
Actually, the numbers basically identical to last year's wins and losses. Different problems, but a lot the same. What did you tell me?
Don't worry about it. We're going to be fine.
Yes. So, okay. Help me out here, comrade, because I feel like I'm living in Groundhog's Day. And it's sort of like telling Bill Murray's character, don't worry about it. It's going to work out differently this time.
Okay, couple things. I'm looking at the standings right now, and we are going to get the game in because they're warming up right now.
Oh, hey.
So,
nice.
So Uncle Sonny's going to take the mound, and we're going to play tonight. We're going to beat those stinking Cubs. We are 24-26, which granted is bad, but we have won four games in a row, and in our last 10, we're 8-2, which is the best mark in the division at this moment in our last 10 games. So we're moving up. You can see it. The pitching is starting to come to form. The young guys are starting to hit the ball. We got Goldie going a little bit. Everyone's freaking out about Goldie. I was like, dude, it's Goldie. He could be like 57, and he would still figure it out because he's just the best, man. Like Tony La Russa once said that I'd never seen a player like this except once, and his name was Albert Pujols. So we've had the privilege of just getting the next guy at first base that's almost as good. We could call him Great Value Pujols, although I already nicknamed Freddie Freeman of the Dodgers as Great Value Pujols. So there we go. I guess I can't use that again.
Well, you can be the only store brand Pujols. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's like, heel attack Pujols. I don't know.
Is it like a sponsor? So we'd take a sponsorship from Heel Attack.
Yeah, paging Joe Buck. You want to do some commercials?
You can heal your home with Heel Attack.
Rain delay sponsored by us. That would be.
Yeah. It is raining today. Anyway.
A lot.
We are slap happy today. But, part of that, I feel like with the Cardinals right now, you either have to laugh some of the stuff or it really does get pretty depressing because it's just. We're so used to leading our division and constantly being right in the running for the pennant race. Do you see us in the pennant race this year?
Yeah, I do. We're gonna have to turn around this run differential because there's a it's not the Pythagorean theorem exactly, but there is a Pythagorean formula for baseball that calculates your expected wins based on your run differential. And our run differential is really bad. Therefore, our expected wins is also really bad. So we need that run differential to turn around in order to indicate that we're as good a team as we actually are. Because if you don't do that, that means you're going to have to be really, really good in close one-run games and stuff like that, and that's pretty fluky in baseball. So you want to not have to rely on such fine margins. So they need to do that. The pitching needs to continue to go forward. The hitting needs to come around. Please, let's not have any injuries. That'd be great. I don't think they're going to add anybody unless we're completely out of the race by July 1st or something. Mm-hmm. But They might a little add here and there to improve the bullpen or maybe a starter if they can get him cheap. Yeah, Sonny's been amazing. Sonny Gray has been every bit the ace that we thought he would be.
He's definitely been the Sonny spot on the team. I never wish for people to be on the IL. I really don't, but it seems to me that the team's almost stronger since Giovanni Gallegos has been on it.
Funny thing. Well, sometimes, you step up and you find your role because you've got to fill a role that somebody else was filling before. Mm-hmm. So looks like Gio's going to come back based on the news that I saw when I read on my glorious iPhone while I was talking to you. So we'll see how he fits in. That's a great bullpen. That is one strength of the Cardinals is the bullpen has been amazing. We just got to get the bats going to be ahead and lock it down.
It kind of feels like we flipped from last year, right? Because last year, the bats were firing and the pitching, it seemed like no matter how many hits we got, no matter how many runs we got, the pitching would just lose it all. And this year, it feels like the pitching can keep it competitive at least most of the time.
Yeah.
Lynn's been the workhorse that he always has been. I mean, he's not been stellar, but he's been getting the innings in. You have Sonny Gray doing really well. Like I said, the bullpen looks great.
We just need those young starters trying to jump in. Like right now, Matthew Liberatore is filling a spot because Steven Matz got hurt again. Man, I love Steven Matz. It's bothering me that he keeps getting hurt. Yeah, he's got such great stuff.
Still haven't sold me on Matz, but maybe when he returns.
It's just, when I see the pitches come out of his hand, I'm like, how does this guy ever lose? That's a baseball nerd thing. That's a you got an eye for it or you don't. I mean, I remember speaking to the Cubs while we're on the subject, and we're playing the Cubs right now. I was the one. It was 2015, and I saw a man named Jake Arrieta pitching in a game for the Cubs against his former team, the Orioles. And I said, "How does this guy ever lose with that stuff?" And he went on to win a Cy Young for the Cubs. So if you get an eye first, and I get that vibe with Steven Matz. Like if he could stay healthy, he'd be winning 20 games right there with Sonny Gray. So.
Well, if we get there, I'll order that edible hat.
Yeah, you can eat a hat because that'd be great.
And actually, I'd be glad to eat the hat. Let's just keep
Yeah.
hoping for these Cardinals.
Wow,
Go Cards.
Tim's gonna eat a hat.
We are broadcasting tonight from Little Hills Church. It's always great to be hosted here. Open for Business is sort of it's an interesting tangent to what you and I have done in ministry together, comrade, and because we write on a lot of things, right? And we do this podcast on a lot of things, covers a lot of territory, but it always comes back to what's rooted in the gospel. And so on a night like tonight, you shared the good news, you preached at Little Hills, and then we're doing this podcast. It seems like the two go logically together because really what we're trying to do on the podcast is to show, yes, Christians can be interested in all these things and we can have fun with these things, and yet it all comes back to Jesus. And so we're thankful that Little Hills is hosting us. And I'll just mention, if you're looking for a church online or in person, check us out, littlehills.church. And we need to work on the schedule, but you're going to be back here preaching again in a few weeks. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, isn't life fun? One thing that's interesting when we're doing this live is it emphasizes you. There's all kinds of moving pieces, and this doesn't work or that doesn't work. But God's word always works. And I think technology is probably the thing that most often reminds me of how I overlook things and how things don't work out how I hope. And yet what we find in scripture, one, God always works. God is always faithful. That's two. And three, we can come to God with all the things that don't work for us. And this summer, we just talked about Little Hills, and part of the reason why I mentioned the church tonight is one of our sponsors is that Jason's here in St. Louis for the summer, and he and I are preaching the sermon series together, going through Luke 18 and 19. I said to Jason, "Hey, is there anything on your heart that you feel like God is calling you to preach on? What could we do together?" And he mentioned, "Let's do Luke 18 and 19." He's going to be working on. Well, can we go ahead and spill the beans?
Yeah, I'll spill the beans here. I'm going to be working on a like a devotional commentary on the Gospel of Luke. I didn't publish that anywhere for our listeners and fellow believers, but I've already done one for John.
Yeah, we need to get that one out.
So
It's good stuff.
I think I'll go ahead and give it to you, Tim, and you can figure out what to do with that.
Thank you. Hey, you've heard it here first on Zippy the Wonder Snail live.
Yeah. So, because nobody else wants to publish it, so I'll just—it's yours, Tim.
Thank you, comrade.
And I'll be working on Luke, and so I wanted to focus on Luke. And this is—you know—John Calvin said Luke was the gospel of the Holy Spirit. So,
Yes.
There was a lot of talk in the sermon. There's a lot of talk in Sunday school about the Holy Spirit. So I don't think we can talk about him enough, really. So he's one of the big stars of Luke 18 and 19, I would say, even if he doesn't make himself obvious. But let's read a little bit.
So for example, I started the series last week, beginning of chapter 18. We have the parable of the persistent widow. And we can just read that tonight. Here's what Jesus says there. And he told them a parable to the fact that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respected man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And this is such an interesting parable, isn't it? Because Jesus is comparing God to an unjust judge, and we think at first, how could he, why is he doing that? But when we understand, he's saying how much greater is God's love.
How much more. And he does that so often. Think about you fathers who have children, do you give your son a scorpion when he asks for an egg? You know, no. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how will not the Father of us all give us good things?
Yes.
So that how much greater. So that, and this is one of the things that I talked about in my sermon tonight, is if we can, by his grace, have the right view of who God is, and if we can keep our focus on our sonship, our daughtership of God, with God, then we can see him rightly, and then we can begin to ask him for the things that we need in that childlike trust that he wants us to have. So if we have a wrong view of God, if we think he's a stern master that sows where he has not reaped and all this stuff, we're going to go hide that talent in the ground. But that's not what we want to do.
Right.
You know, so, and so much of this, when we look at other parables about the different seed falling on the different kinds of ground, you know, fall on the good ground and it produces much fruit, and you fall on the rocky ground and it gets choked out, and fall on the rocky path and it gets stolen by the birds, flies away. So much of what God is telling us in the scripture is about, let's view him rightly and let's have endurance,
yes,
by his grace. Yes. So I think that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this part, and starting with prayer, and just prayer's all underneath it.
Yeah. You know? And like you said, that's where we encounter the Holy Spirit. And I think this sets us up for the rest of the chapter, or two chapters, we're going through Luke 18 and 19. Because when we think about it, once we get to that point that you were describing of how much greater God is than an earthly father, how much greater God is than our own hearts, and yet we wouldn't do these things. Then what happens thereafter starts to make sense. What you preached on tonight, the tax collector, it makes sense that he comes to God because of how much greater God's love is. We'll come to the rich young ruler, we come to the blind beggar. The series is called Parables and Problems, because Jesus is telling parables, but he's addressing people's problems. And if we understand that this, we can encounter Jesus, we can encounter the Holy Spirit, we can come before a loving Father, then we can take those problems and know he's going to be faithful to actually respond in the way that we need him to respond.
Whatever you're wrestling with, you know, you can put yourself in any part of a parable. If one day you're the older son who's grumpy because God has been merciful to a younger son that's living wildly and just having a good time, well, then there's your lesson, because God says, I still love you, even though you're being a bonehead right now. Don't be the older son. Be more happy that your brother's come back. Or sometimes you're the younger son. Man, if you're out there and you've committed a whole bunch of sin or something, and it's sort of shameful and whatever it might be, and you just don't think, oh, God will never love me again, I can't believe I fell back into that, God's like, again, don't be a bonehead. I've died for you already. Clearly, I love you. Just lay it down, you know? Amen. Lay down the burden. Lay down the burden. So we're going to cover that. The Holy Spirit is the one that, even if we need conviction, you know, the thing about the Holy Spirit that's different than the enemy is that the Holy Spirit never leaves desolation. So if he needs to convict us, he says, "Hey, you know you don't need to be doing that. It's not over, but don't be doing that." He
Yes.
doesn't just say, "Oh, you're dirt. You're nothing. Go away. I don't love you anymore." So we know there's no desolation with the Holy Spirit. There's no rejection with the Holy Spirit. There's
Amen.
only invitation for greater walking with the Lord.
Yeah,
Sorry,
amen.
I did it again.
It's you never have to be sorry for preaching God's word, and that's exactly what you'll get to hear more of over the summer. So I hope that you join us for that series. I do think, let me just sort of go to the end a little bit, just as we're previewing this, which is the triumphal entry is right towards the end of these two chapters, which we, of course, talk about every Palm Sunday. But I think it's worth looking at in the context of all of this, because what you're talking about, coming to the Holy Spirit, laying down our burdens, understanding what God's doing for us, what we see there is that people are going to hear all these messages from Jesus. They're going to hear about how they should come to their Father, and yet they're still going to want to reshape what God's willing to do into an earthly mold. That's a challenge for each of us. Are we going to actually receive God's grace? Are we going to receive how He works? Are we going to miss out on that because we're looking for something different that looks more earthly?
And when we fall, you know, when we fall into things, that's our self saying, maybe I don't trust what God's plan is for me. He said it was good, but I don't really believe it's good. You know, and I'm talking, even without being specific, I'm talking really personally here.
Yes.
Maybe the plan isn't that great, and we get that thought in our head, and we take a step backwards, and it's like, hold on, let me go back, because I know this isn't good for me, and I know God is good, and I just forget. A
Amen.
lot of our sinfulness is just forgetfulness. If we could just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me remember your goodness. Holy Spirit, help me remember your goodness. Help me when it's really tight,
Yes.
when I don't know what's around the next corner.
Amen.
That's when it gets real.
Yeah. And it's so hard to do, and it's so important that we do it. Well, of course, we always love to hear from you. And if you are struggling with how to say that and how to do that, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. We really are two guys that through the news and culture that matter to you, but we're two guys that are Christian guys. And that really is the heart of where we come to on every podcast. That's why we always end with our exploration of Scripture. And if we can be praying for you, if we can talk you through trying to figure out how to do that. We're still trying to figure it out ourselves. I mean, that's the thing. We don't have it all figured out, but we know that God does, and that is truly amazing. Well, let me just remind you, if you haven't already, please do subscribe to Zippy the Wonder Snail on your favorite podcasting app in the app store that you did, whatever you download. Maybe one of those new app stores are going to force onto your phone, whatever it might be. You can find us on all the app stores. And of course, check out past episodes on snail.zip. It's always great to be with you, comrade. I am so glad that we've gotten to share in another live Zippy, and I can't wait for the next one.
Hopefully it'll be all right. Yeah, that was crazy.